The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Welcome, everybody. You are all welcome, just as you are. And now is the time to worship. I'm going to steal from something not biblical. If not now, then when? If not me, then who? Why not use this time just to come one step closer to God, wherever you're starting from? So, it is the second week of Advent, our second Getting Ready week, and I would like to invite the tailor who is doing the reading and Emily to come up and do the Advent candles.
Readings from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 5. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what he sees, or decide disputes by what he hears, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked, and righteousness will be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. Amen.
Thank you both. Let's just spend a moment preparing ourselves for worship. If you want to use the candles, just looking at those candles as a tool to just center yourself. Let's just spend a moment. Holy Spirit, fill this place right to its edges. Let there be space for nothing else. Lord, we come this morning and we bring with us all of our baggage. We trust you with it. We lay it at your cross so that we can worship you fully, trusting that you have the difficult things in hand, and thanking you for the good things. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's each look into the depths of our hearts now. Find those bits that we know don't belong in the kingdom of heaven. Those bits that we know separate us from God. Lord, we're sorry that we hold on to these things. Help us to move past them, to let them go, and to move closer to you.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You are an amazing God, Lord. And we thank you this morning that we can feel you. We know that you are with us. And even though sometimes we walk away, you are always there for us with your arms open wide and saying, come. Thank you that we can come just as we are. We don't need to put any frills or any thoughts that, you know, we can come just as we are, and you love us. You truly are an amazing God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Bless your name, Lord. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I'd just like to echo Livy's welcome this morning. It's so good to see everyone here. And of course, that welcome extends to those of you all watching on YouTube. It's good to be together. Thank you for the worship to start, the sung worship, I should say, to start us off. And David will be speaking to us shortly. He's nodding, so he must be. So here we are, second Sunday in Advent, as Livy said. We're all getting into the preparation mode, aren't we? You're in church. We've finally managed to get it all decorated. It's been very much a team effort, but I do have to say that Jan's put all the finishing touches, so I'm sure you agree. It's beautiful, all the flowers and everything else. So thank you. And the beautiful wreath that Deirdre's done as well. We thank you, everybody. Can I just draw your attention to this little display? Ignore the microphone because you're not expected to say anything. This little prayer corner here, it's meant to for people to write prayers and hang them on the tree, and they will be people will be prayed for. And also the Christmas card at the end here, it's a church Christmas card for everyone. We've done it for a few years now. If anyone would like to sign it, and then if you want to, but there's no obligation, to donate some money, we'll be sending it to a Christian charity. That's going to be there, obviously, for the next few weeks. So please do that if that's something that you'd like to do. Right, notices for this week, prayer and meditation this Monday, tomorrow, via Zoom at 9:30. Tuesday, the ARC playgroup, 10 till 11:30 and 1 till 2:30. I think it's Christmas party day, so I think I might be doing something on that morning, Jan, sorry. But yes, yeah, so all the little ones will be coming in and enjoying that time. Please pray for these sessions at playgroup because they really are lovely. Some lovely relationships. So please keep praying for them because they're doing an amazing job. Lunch club on Thursday, as usual, at 12. We will be having one next week as well. So just in case anybody thinks it's the last one, we are carrying on right till the bitter end before Christmas. And as it's getting ever closer, I think perhaps we need a reminder about the Christmas events that are coming up. I'm sure everybody's well aware. We've got them all in newsletters and things. But just to say that next Sunday is what I always call Super Sunday. It's the Sunday, well, it's not the Sunday before Christmas, but it's the family service that the junior church usually do every year for us. And it's brilliant. It's a lovely family time together. Lots of fun, lots of laughing, but of course, the Christian message is always at the centre of it. And we will be having refreshments and bring and share afterwards and maybe a little few games. But please do come if you can. Invite your families. It's a lovely time together. And then Prospect will also be meeting next Sunday afternoon down here at church at 3:00. Now, on Thursday the 21st, we're having a Chris Tingle and Crafts session. 6:15 in the evening, obviously, not in the morning, in the evening. It's something that, again, that Jan's organised. Chris Tingle, probably you know about it. If you don't, you'll have to wait and see and come and do the crafts. But it'd be a lovely time together. But if you could please sign up at the back, there's a sheet there, just so Jan knows how many oranges to buy, basically. I think we don't want too many oranges, do we? So if you think you'd like to join in that, and then that will lead into the candlelight service at 7:30, which will be a lovely evening again together, followed by refreshments. We have to have refreshments, don't we, at Christmas? And it must be nearly Christmas because we've got mince pies this morning. Ooh! Which leads me into my request. If anyone could donate mince pies or nice chocolate biscuits for the next couple of Sundays, please pop them in the kitchen and they'll all get used up, I'm sure. They'll be none wasted. Sunday the 24th of December, it's a normal Sunday service and we will be taking... And then on Christmas Day, 10:30, Christmas Day service, just a short one, bring a present to show if you'd like to do that. Going into 2024 now, Saturday the 6th of January, it's a coffee morning from 10 until 12. And Sunday the 14th of January, the family meal that's been booked at the the Phoenix. All the information is at the back, so if you could sign up to that, please. It's not urgent, but if you, you know, rather than forget, just do it as soon as you can if you'd like to come. Information, flyers, newsletters, there's lots of stuff at the back. It's in under the little twinkly tree, so if you can't find it, that's where it is. And of course, it's always, everything's in the newsletter and on the website and Facebook page, so there's lots of stuff around there to let you know what's going on in the next few weeks. Thank you.
Thanks, Carol.
Just for the children, go out, let's pray for them and over them, because it's important that we keep them encouraged and blessed in prayer. So let's just pray for the children. Lord, we thank you for each and every one that you bring here to us. Lord, and maybe those that can't make it. We pray in particular as they go out today, as they will be learning more of you, as they will be practicing and putting together the service for next week. Lord, may you just bring your peace upon each and every one of their hearts. Lord, release their burdens from them and enable them just to be at peace and at one, not only with each other, but also with you at the centre of them coming together. Lord, we pray that they will, all that they do, all that they say, will glorify your name. Lord, would you bless them? Would you keep them, energise them and enable them to step out in the boldness in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And Lord, we lift those that lead them as well in these talks and in these sessions. We think of Jenny and of Jan and Julie and all the others, Lord, that help as well. We just thank you for them and we just pray, Lord, your blessing on each and every one. So Lord, as they go from here into their session, Lord, would you just go before them, go with them, be within, without and all around, surround them in your love, your energy and your passion. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. As they're going, if you want to get your Bibles, and especially if it's the pew ones, turn to page 836. We're looking at Mark this morning. Mark chapter 1. We're continuing in this series, Make Some Noise, looking at those that come and tell us and make noise of all in this season and preparation of Advent, of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we stand this side of the cross, and yes, we know of his arrival some 2,000 years ago, but we also prepare for his coming again. But speaking about making some noise and about preparing the way, as I say, Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 8, it reads this: "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord and make his path straight.' John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, 'After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" Let's pray. Father God, as we get into your word here this morning, would you too also baptize us in Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, we pray that you move amongst us and within us and through us. Breathe new life into us. Lord, open our hearts, our minds, our ears and our eyes to receive of you as we prepare in this season of Advent. Lord, bless all that we hear this morning, in your name and for your glory. Amen. Who remembers the good old days of where you may go to shows and there'd be like a compere, an announcer, if you like, that would come on and would generally whip up the crowd with jokes or songs or different things that they would do, depending on who it was, depending on what you was going to see, but in high energy, in the readiness for whoever the main event was going to come on. Lords, ladies and gentlemen, fellow peasants and children, or whatever they may say, I give you to the stage, and whoever the big name would be, and everyone would clap and cheer and be excited about it. And the enabler or the announcer would be making noise to the main event that would come on. And it would help you remember part of the great event that you had been to see, the experience, the excitement, if you like. You naturally then want to go and tell someone, oh, we went to this show last night and it was amazing. This happened and that happened and there was this and there was that. And you relive that experience. And as we hear, it brings back that original thrill. You relive that experience, if you like. And maybe you're sat here thinking of some of the big shows that you went to, some of the big things that you've seen over the years, or maybe more recently, and you're reliving those experiences right now for the power of memory, for the power of that experience. And yet here we hear of one that was announced that was coming. John the Baptist, as we recall Mark's first words, you catch a sense of his excitement. Picture yourself in the crowds here, John the Baptist as the one crying out in the wilderness. He's not just coming along going, make way, make way. He's crying out. He's prepare the way for the Lord. And then you see Jesus as you read on. If you were in these times, who comes and who is baptized and is being baptized, but also goes on to heal and goes on to teach. All the excitement, all the buzz that's going on, the talk of the town. Here in our reading today, we see that. That this it just isn't some random stranger walking out and about in the wilderness. No, you see, here is one, as you recall, Isaiah saying. This is some 700 odd years before. Isaiah saying, I will send, this is God saying through Isaiah, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way. Some 700 years. Imagine hearing that from a compare. Oh, okay, when are they coming out and we're hearing it then? But yet here they come, because as you know, as we heard already this morning in Isaiah 9 in particular, where you hear that the people living in a great darkness, and that one would come who would be the light of the world, and on it goes. But here, John is reiterating what has been said. You recall Isaiah spoke these words. And it is John the Baptist who is the one who is crying out in the wilderness, because he ensures that Jesus did not arrive unannounced or unexpected. You see, you've got to remember from all these prophecies that were hundreds of years before, people would have probably long lost hope and forgotten about it. In a sense of who would come. And yet, he made noise with the thrilling news of someone of great importance, but maybe unexpected. You see, it says the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And as we, if you like, begin to look a little bit deeper about this, Mark is establishing the fact that God is making a new start. Remember where we are in history. Remember where we are in history. Jesus at this point hasn't really come onto the scene in a sense. And what we're having here is this new start, new sense in the step that it's a great step forward to announce the good news of this inbreaking of God's kingly rule and the advent of his salvation is coming. It needs a great announcement for the people to wake up and to listen and to be prepared for who is coming. God's inbreaking has world significance to those who witness it. They must tell it. John's part of this. And so he goes forth and is telling the people also of what is going on. And that's no different for us today. You see, Jesus came at a time when their entire civilized world in the Roman Empire, if you like, was under peaceful rule. People were able to go and travel about easily enough with a common language that was spoken. News about Jesus' life, death and resurrection could spread quickly throughout the vast Roman Empire, remembering also that there had not been any God-sent prophets for some 400 years since the day of Malachi. And yet here, there was growing anticipation that a great prophet or Messiah mentioned in the Old Testament would appear soon. And yet here we are, because Mark starts with that quotation that's first taken from Malachi and then Isaiah. Hundreds of years earlier, Isaiah predicting that John the Baptist and Jesus would come. Isaiah's words, if you like, bringing comfort, that comforting news has comforted many people as they look forward to the Messiah. And so Mark's gospel account, if you like, here, as concise, straightforward and chronological as it may seem, is more than just a story. It's more than just a story that we may read and think, oh, that's nice. Here, it's part of God's word spoken long before. It's revealing God's plans for human history, as well as offering the good news that people needed. The good news that is to become salvation for each and every one. The good news that has been brought forward and fulfilled in all that the prophet said, in all what Jesus will come and do. And here, in our time of Advent, as we prepare ourselves, if you like, of this coming of Christ, the announcement so long ago, in anticipation of the hope, the peace, the joy and the love. It's this newness, if you like, in this season, but also as we prepare for his coming again. Because if there was ever a great compare, if you like, an announcer with such an important announcement, then surely it had to be John the Baptist. Not only of them, but also of now, as we're reminded of what he was saying and what was to happen with his message for all who would listen and prepare themselves for the transformation that is coming. That's still the same for us today. As I say, we prepare for the second coming. What a transformation that'll be when we stand face to face with Christ in the kingdom, in the glorious kingdom, where there'll be no more tears, no more pain, no more sadness. And yet, all this took place whilst John was baptizing people. Again, that great important message that if we just skip over it and miss it, that message of baptism being that visible sign of what God had done within the life of a person, of giving them the newness of life, if you like, a different way of giving up their living and instead turning to God and glorifying him in all that they do, in all that they say, in all ways, at all times. And here again, John's announcing. He's not trying to make himself look good. He's not trying to big himself up or look important. John's not in it for himself. He simply comes and he says, after me comes one more powerful than I, of the straps of who I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Here's this great announcement. John's pointing out how insignificant he is compared to the one who is coming. And the purpose, the whole purpose of this, if you like, is teaching to prepare people to accept Jesus as the one who was prophesied long ago, but also who is the Son of God. John challenged people, if you like, confessing their sins individually, and he signaled and pointed to the one who is coming in a new way of relating to God. And as we see some years on, a few years on, then all is accessible with God because the temple curtain is torn in two. There's no longer the need of the holies of holies, the inner sanctuary, if you like, because God did away with that once and for all. I guess as we look at this, even though John felt he wasn't worthy to untie Jesus' sandals, he still went on and told people about Jesus. See, sometimes we can have an effect where we feel, I can't really do that. I have a small voice. I'm an introvert. I can't really go and say much. People won't really listen. But actually, we need to look at it as those that have witnessed and those that have Christ in their life can do nothing but go and tell people, however it's received. And I think the biggest thing, and sometimes I feel it also, is the embarrassment of how it's received. But you know what? Who cares? Who cares? Because we're telling of good news. great news, the greatest news that people will receive, especially in today's world, as we look out there and see in such an awful, fragile state as it is, to go and to share that good news of Jesus Christ. Is exactly what John did, even though he felt he was unworthy to stoop down and untie the sandals of Jesus. He went and told people about him, he witnessed it and he told it. Because what he began, Jesus finished. And what John prepared, Jesus fulfilled. And I think that's an important message for us today. What God leads us to, God will fulfill and equip. What God starts us out on, God will complete also in and through the work of Christ, in and through us as working vessels for him. And so there's no need to fear or to be embarrassed. Like this morning as we was complimenting Tina on her fancy outfit, and we said at the top is a star, we said an angel, and Rob said angels are scary. Yeah, they can be. But what is it that scripture reminds us of when the angels and other people appear? The first words they say, do not be afraid, for I come and bring great news, great joy, that peace will come upon your hearts when we do what God is calling us to do. In all that preparation, if you like, of his coming then, and again as we take time this season and Advent, as we too prepare, preparing ourselves in this newness of life, this new creation, if you like, preparing ourselves for the life of Christ, born into this feeding trough, this borrowed stable that we recount all these years, born into a place that closed its doors on Mary and Joseph. But yeah, where they was eventually led to the stable. And they then opened their doors and welcomed all that would come in. To see the one. To see the light of the world. To see the bread of life. I've said this many times before, and it's often quite clear to see. The manger that we talk of is the feeding trough that is placed in the centre of the stable where the animals would come and feed. It's no coincidence that the light of life, that the Son of God, that God himself incarnate, is placed into the centre of that. Did that, although some 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born, expected his coming again, and in doing so, make some noise to go and tell all who will listen that Christ has come to eternal life, that he has defeated death once and for all, and that there will come a day. And so he came to this world, came to this earth, as well as extorting the aim, the good news of Jesus Christ. Not the good news that Aldi's got more turkeys in that are going to be a lot cheaper than what they were last year. That's maybe good news, but not in the sense of the greatest news that'll bring about transformation and not just put extra pounds on. We too must also be bold in sharing that message of Christ's birth, emphasising the joy and the hope that it brings. Even in this day and time so dark and gloomy, let us be the light that shines brightly into people's lives, even though what we face and for what is to come. And so in doing that, let us also prepare the way. Just as John the Baptist did for the people then, we are to be no different now in that sense of the reality of exploring the concept of being a voice in the wilderness. What is the wilderness? Maybe in our own hearts we're going through a wilderness ourselves. Prepare the way then in this time of this Advent season, and pointing for others, enabling them to prepare their way too, being able to stand out and point others towards Christ. Are we able to challenge ourselves to do just that, to make some noise by living out your faith in a way that draws others and points to Christ Jesus rather than selves? There's often a great challenge, especially in this Advent season. But also, not only that, but about, as I say, being that voice in the wilderness. And so, I want to encourage each and every one of us in this Advent season that we share the Christmas story with friends, with family. Invite people to the activities that we have going on. Not just to get the bums in on seats, but that they will hear the gospel message in a simple form. through the carol that we sing, through the readings that we hear, through the words that are spoken by God himself, through vessels that he chooses to work through. There is an opportunity that we are able to be that church within the community, to spread and to be that voice in the wilderness, preparing the way and pointing towards Christ, to celebrate that true meaning of Christmas, if you like. And so, through all of that, as we set aside time for personal and communal prayer, let us also remember, reflecting upon that significance of Christ's birth and its impact not only on our life, but on the lives of others that will come to believe and come to see one day that Christ is risen, Christ lives and lives forevermore. Let's take a moment just to reflect on those words quietly and lead us in a time of prayer. As we think of what we've heard, as we see that we too are to proclaim the good news, to prepare the way, to be a voice in the wilderness, know that we don't do it alone. Know that we can't go out in our humanness and speak of these things, but that the indwelling of Christ within us through power of Holy Spirit, guiding and equipping, encouraging and strengthening, to lead us out to wherever that place may be. It's the Lord that we seek, and we pray, Adventus God. As we navigate this season, may we heed the call to make some noise. May our lives resonate with the joy of the gospel, proclaiming the good news, preparing the way, being voices of hope in the wilderness. Lord, would you let our noise be a harmonious chorus that glorifies the one who came to dwell amongst us. May Holy Spirit empower us to be bold witnesses to the transformational love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, as we take this time and set aside this time for personal prayer, as we reflect upon the significance of you in our lives and the impact that you have caused upon that, may we too also be shown and guided to those, Lord, that may be close within family, within friends, or within this community, or even further afield, that we too would be able to prepare the way for others as we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, as we too are able to show those a way to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Above all, Lord, may we just take this time and remember again of the greatest things that you have done for us, that you love us beyond all measure, and that you call us not only to love you, but to love those of you who have loved us. So, Lord, in this time, in this season, may we too prepare our ways, prepare ways for others, being voices of hope, that noise of a harmonious chorus that will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We simply say, Lord, come. Amen.
So, we're going to say the Christmas version of the grace together. Sorry, I thought it was the one with the love of the Christ child and the this and the that. I'll write that one down for next one. So, we'll just add the word Christmas in today. Are you ready? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all every and evermore. Amen. Amen. Have a lovely week, everybody.